We welcome you to this weekly program from Words of Life. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers sponsor this broadcast so that we can share the good news about Jesus. Again this week, we will present an archived sermon by Brother Julius Hovan. These words were presented back in 2011, but they are still true today as we hear Brother Hovan speak on the fallacies regarding time. We first present singing about our Lord. Prayer is a wonderful avenue to talk to our God. Please pray with me. Holy Father, we magnify your name as we talk to you in prayer. Thank you for listening to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you also for the salvation that you give us. And Lord, please use the words of this program for souls to be reached for you. It is our desire that each one would be saved through Jesus Christ. And bless all who are speaking out for you, especially protect the persecuted. Some of our listeners need your special encouragement, and we also know that some are in need of healing and other physical concerns. Please bless them. In closing, we ask that you will help us to be ready to meet Jesus when we pass from this life or at the promised return of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And now, Brother Julius Hovan will speak to us about fallacies regarding time.
Most of us are aware that a couple of times a year we do something to our clocks. We call it changing the time. We set it one direction in the spring and another in the fall. In the spring, we set it forward 1 hour, and in the fall, we set it back 1 hour. What have we really done to time when we do that? Well, the fact is, we've not done much at all except sometime confuse us as to what time it is. What is time? The writer Henry Wadsworth Longfellow defined it this way: time is the shadow on the dial, the striking of the clock, the running of the sand day and night, summer and winter, months, years, centuries. These are but arbitrary and outward signs. The measure of time, these are not time itself. Time is the life of the soul. Think about that. Time, a very valuable thing it is indeed. It is our God who set time in motion. It is our Creator, Jehovah God, who has given to us this marvelous thing we call time. The writer Daniel in that Old Testament prophecy said this in the 21st verse of chapter 2 about time and about God. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings, gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. I hope you will understand today as we talk about time that it is Jehovah God who set time in motion at the time of creation, when He put the stars and the sun and the moon. We know just very clearly our astronauts and those who are able to put those men in space in those great rocket ships, they can know precisely where every planet is going to be. They know precisely the time of the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun and the phases of the moon and all of those things because God has put them there, and they are accurate. You are familiar with the passage written by the wise old man in the Old Testament. For everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to quit embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, even a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, there might be many mysteries in that passage of Scripture about time. What I would like to do today, as we think about this thing called time, first of all, that God says there is a purpose under heaven for the time that He gives you, that He gives me, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months. He has put you and put me here with purpose, that we might use those time segments wisely. What I'd like for you to recognize today, that it is easy for us to have some fallacies, some false ideas about time. For example, someone says, if I only had more time. Have you thought about that? All of us have exactly the same amount of time, 24 hours in a day. You won't find 24 and a half or 25. That's all we have. And I believe because God has planned it so, it will be time enough for you to do the will of God, where you are and who you are, and what He might have you to do. Now, we might be wasting time. Most of us have been guilty of that. We might find ourselves so very busy, our calendars are full, and maybe with the wrong priorities. Sometime we who are ministers of the gospel, preachers in the pulpit, we neglect some of those important matters that we ought to be doing, and we become involved in less important matters. Our priorities are out of whack. Maybe we are just poor managers of time. Some simply don't know how to make use of a good hour or 2 hours to accomplish a goal. You have heard, no doubt, many of you, of Will Rogers, a man in America that was a somewhat philosopher and comedian. He said this, "I never talked to a man who wanted to save time who could tell me what he was going to do with the time he saved." It is said that a man was taking a Chinese friend on a trip, and they were changing trains. And the man grabbed the Chinaman by the arm and said, "If we hurry, we can catch this train, and it will save us 3 minutes." And the man from China, with a bit of philosophy and truth, said, "And sir, what will we do with those 3 minutes that we save? How will we use time? Time? Oh, if I only had more." You've got all you're going to get, 24 in a day. That's the max. That's the limit. God has put it there, and it will never change. But there is a second fallacy. If I just had as much time as other people, that ties in with the first one, doesn't it? We look at other people, and it seems like they've got time to fish and golf and play around and do a lot of things, travel. And we just simply don't have that time in our schedules. Well, we remind ourselves again, they've got 24 hours, so do we. And there are various responsibilities that provide us with this use of time. And it gives us less time for certain things. If I have to work 40 hours a week, I have to take those hours out of the week. And then I have to make time in the hours that remain for the other important things. Will I set aside some hours for church? Will God get a portion of that time? I must worship and study and learn and come to His place of worship. Will I surely have time for my family? Oh, they are so important. My children need me. My wife needs me to spend time with her. I need to draw a segment of time out of the 24-hour day, out of the 40-hour week or whatever, in order to be able to have time with family. Oh, and yes, pleasure. God wants us to have pleasure. Jesus rested very often, and we need to set aside those times when whatever our pleasure is, if it's fishing or a game of golf or going to a sporting event, as long as it doesn't become overbearing and take, as it often does, too much of our precious time. God expects us to be good stewards of everything He gives us, and that includes time. You have as much as anyone else. You're not going to get any more. Be a good steward. Thirdly, we hear someone say, "Well, I'll make up the time I lost." Now that's interesting. How am I going to do that? Time is not a renewable resource. If you lose your glasses or your wallet or your pen, you can find them. You can hunt and look, or somebody else can, and you can find those things. But time, my friend, once the second clicks off, it is gone forever. Once this radio broadcast goes off the air, the time we have spent talking to you and sharing the gospel and these facts, it's gone. That time can never be retrieved. We cannot produce more time. We cannot control time. Again, I would say we can only manage it as God gives us the wisdom to do it. Ben Franklin, I believe it was, gave us this fallacy, though it has a measure of truth to it. You maybe have heard it. He said, "Time is money." Now, in the strictest sense, it's not true that time is money. Time is simply time. But we know that time, wisely used, can make us money. We work at our job, or we make a deal with someone to sell something that makes us money, and in that sense, time becomes money. But we can lose money, and it can be gained back. You may lose it in the stock market, in mutual funds, or whatever it is, and maybe in 5 years the market picks back up and you regain that. Or you lose money and you are able to find it. It fell down in the cushions as you sat on the couch or whatever it might be. We need to understand that. But all the money in the world will not buy us 1 second more of time. Many have been the rich, the wealthy, the multimillionaires who in their dying days have pleaded, "All my riches for one more day of time," but their riches simply could not bring that to pass. But I believe there is another fallacy that is extremely important for you to recognize today. Oh, there's plenty of time. Plenty of time? Says who? How do we know? How do you know there is plenty of time? In the county right next to us here in central Kentucky, just day before yesterday, a horrible wreck occurred. A mother driving a car crossed the center line and hit head-on into another vehicle. And in the car with her were her beautiful triplet children, 2 boys and a girl. The girl was immediately killed, her life taken, and the 2 triplet boys are in critical condition in the University of Kentucky Hospital today. Time? Oh, surely you would say those little 8-year-old children have plenty of time. Sadly, that little girl has no more time. She has been snatched into eternity. It happens all of the time. People of age, accidents, suicides, all sorts of things bring life to a close, and it can happen in an instant. Yesterday is gone. The only time we have is today. Tomorrow, we must face it, may not come. That book of Ecclesiastes from which we read a moment ago says this in chapter 9 and verse 12. "For man also knows not his time. As fishes that are taken in an evil net
and birds caught in a snare. Even so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Oh, my friends, listen. Time can happen and it can end in just a very little while. Are you aware of that? Henry Wadsworth Longfellow added this thought: "Look not mournfully into the past. It comes not back again. Wisely improve the present. It is thine. Go forth to meet the shadowy future without fear and with a manly heart." Now think about it. We cannot do anything about our past. It is past and it is gone. Oh, we might be able to make some things right with someone or make some adjustments here and there, but those events are history. What does Mr. Longfellow say? Improve the present. Oh, the child of God, the Christian, with the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the power of the Lord Jesus living in his life, has the capacity to do that. We have the present time. Oh, and then what? Go forth to meet the shadowy future. Shadowy future, yes. There is a future for all of us. For many, it is deep, deep, dark shadows. Shadows of an eternal separation from God because they have not put Jesus Christ into their lives and been born again into the family of God. The child of God can enter that future with a strong heart. No wonder the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom." Oh, how important wisdom is. And the proverb writer reminds us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God? Do you honor Him with your life? Have you responded to the message of the gospel that He has given? I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 31:15. "My times are in thy hands." Where are your times? Time? Oh, there are a lot of fallacies about time and what we can do with it or can't do with it. Would you turn your time over to God? Listen to Romans chapter 13 as we think of time. We must learn to use our time for things that will outlast time. Those are eternal things, spiritual things. And Paul gives us a very serious warning. He reminds us in other passages, today is the day of salvation, of change, of the wise use of your time. Now listen to his words in Romans 13, beginning with verse 11. "And this knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation come nearer than when we were first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand." Now what are we going to do? "Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, strife and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Oh, my friends, he says, now is salvation to come nearer to us. Has it come near to you today? Is this the first time you have heard about Jesus? The fact that he has died in your place? The fact that he will give you salvation and forgiveness if you will respond to the gospel? Then salvation has come near. What will you do with it? This is your time to respond to the gospel. You can inquire at this radio broadcast. The announcer will give you information as how you may contact us. Or in your town or city, there may be a Christian to whom you can go, and they will help you make that important decision. To Christians who are listening, use your time. Forget about those fallacies. Go forward into the future with hope. Bring others with you as you share the gospel with them. May God bless you this day as you think about using wisely the time God has given you.
It has been our great blessing to share this sermon with you today. To receive a free CD of this and next week's broadcast, write to us and simply ask for 1835. That's 1835. You can also send us questions and comments as you desire. We look forward to hearing from you. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. You can also listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want to by logging on to wordsofliferadio.com and selecting the broadcast that you want to hear. Our newsletter is also available online. On behalf of Words of Life, this is Wayne Hobbs thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.